I'd like to call the June 21st meeting of Ways and Means to order. Resolution number 11, requesting enactment of Senate bill and Assembly bill for special law in relation to hotel motel occupancy.
I move we postpone until next month.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Number 14 was postponed in Laws and Rules. Number 168, authorized one-time reimbursement for 2021 real property tax.
I'll move we postpone for a month.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 290, amending the county budget to include federal aid funding for mental health of school.
You get this to approve.
I'll move it.
You approve this.
Discussion. Yeah.
So since I had the most concerns about it last week, I just want to update people on why I feel better about this project by you, Walter. So there's two elements. One was this idea of whether this should be in-house or not, or even related to other concerns of whether this should be something the schools pay for or how this should work. So that was the first concern. And in my discussion with the Commissioner of Mental Health, what I feel really comfortable with now is this idea that, you know, she's just been put in this seat. We just opened this new Department of Mental Health, or reopened it. And it needs time to understand what services it should be doing in-house, what services it should contract with. You know, we know with DSS and others, there are things we do. We don't put housing for homeless, we contract. So I think that Tara is very interested in really being thoughtful about how to do services right, and again, that does mean that sometimes we should contract with a third party and sometimes we should hire in-house. The other part, it was a little hard, you know, $1 million going to someone else instead of staying here was difficult. I was concerned about the salaries for the social workers and how much of an admin cost overhead, because at $1 million. So I felt, I think that the right now the salary is lower for the social workers than I would like it to be, but Deputy Executive Contreras said that when they shift it from 18 months to 15 months, they should be able to increase that salary a bit, which I hope is true, because I think as much as my fear of that they're not going to fill these positions, I'm especially concerned at the salary that's currently being offered. But that said, I feel like this is a good opportunity to get the program started. I don't see it as turning around and being in-house in a year. I think it's going to need time. It's going to be rough for a few years before it even settles down on that end. It gives us time to discuss whether it's a partnership with the schools, or the schools are paying for it, or we're doing it. I did not feel comfortable about the idea that they're going to turn around and bring it in-house like in a year, because that just wasn't feasible. So I feel much more comfortable with it. Again, I'd rather keep that $1 million here, but I think given the newness of this department, this makes sense. If that position was appointed a year ago, I might feel a little bit different, but the seat's barely warm, so I'm good with this one and the next one.
Any other discussion?
I'm very reluctantly going to be supporting it on the floor tonight. I feel strongly that this is a school district function. You know, the school tax bill is 2/3 of your tax bill, and the county tax bill is the smallest portion of your tax bill. And here we are funding something for the schools. The schools, as well as the towns, got their own federal recovery money, and they chose to use it on different items. You know, I don't think anybody's saying that this isn't a worthy program. Legislator John Parody would tell you it's been a worthy program for many, many years, and so would his son Robert, who I think first put this in what, 2012? I definitely think it's a worthy program. I think that, the school district raises, hundreds of millions of dollars around the county in taxes every year. They should be funding the program. And I feel like we're not just going to be funding the program for 1 year if the program continues, because I don't see the school district stepping up and doing their part. Reluctantly, I'm supporting it this year. If it's in the budget next year for us to fund it again, I will not.
All right, I'm just going to jump in first, because you may have to answer some of the questions I'm going to bring up.
Sure.
So I'm a lot of what Legislator Ronk just said, I'm on the same page with. I've said this many times, even though Legislator Parity jumped on me for saying it, but there are taxing districts. The school districts cross county lines. We're using Ulster County taxpayer money for Sullivan, Ulster, Orange. I don't think across in the Dutchess County, but at least those counties right there, they're also getting the benefit of this.
And Green.
That's right. The other part, which you brought up, Legislator Walter, in the past, is we want to be sure this isn't going to replace the funding source and have somebody who's already being paid by the school district, this is just going to now pay that person's salary and there's no more additional service. So I don't know, and I've had this conversation with Deputy Executive Contreras, that we need to make sure that in the language with the school that this is to be additional resource, not supplement something that they're already paying for out of their budget. So I don't know if you've had that discussion.
Sure. I mean, I would say I think that language makes sense. I don't think they'll balk on it because they're not doing this kind of bridge services. So if they were, it'd be less of a concern. I think that, if we knew they were doing it, we wouldn't need to do it. We're setting this example. But I absolutely do think that there should be a conversation down the line I think it serves the social workers better to be paid for by the school. The next best thing would be for the county to pay. The real best thing would be the schools are paying, that they're integrated into the school in every way. So I think that would be perfectly reasonable. I just also want to add that didn't realize at our last meeting, but then the deputy executive identified, this is to cover them through the end of 2023 and not the 2022-2023 school year, which was really important because I was worried about a 5-month gap if they didn't put it in the 2023 budget. So it will be going through to 2024. So we will have a chance for the 2024 budget to identify if we want to take it in, we want to get the schools to do it. I think if it's successful, then it's even easier to have that conversation with the schools of how to either have them do it or partner with us. So.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. 291, amending the county budget for opioid settlement funding. Got a motion?
I'll move it.
Senator Walter.
Second.
Senator Fabiano. Discussion?
And I don't know, Mark, if you know, but I know that this is one. Do we have any sense of what we should expect down the line with the opioid settlement money? Is it one and done, or?
This is just.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even see you over there.
This is just the first piece of it.
But do we know what to expect down the line, or?
You mean in terms of the amount?
Yeah.
Yes, we have. It's 1.6 million total
over a year, 2 years.
In the coming year, and then it's around. I don't want to say the wrong number, but it's a small amount every year after that.
Until for perpetuity? Until we solve this problem?
For 18 years, I believe.
Oh, nice. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 293, establishing and reporting standard work week. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it as amended in front of us.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it.
Fabiano? All those in favor?
Aye.
It's okay. All right. As amended.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. 309, amending capital project 607, the Government Operations Center. Presentation, all set?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you all for having us here second time. This time it's actually in person, which is a little bit easier for us because it's always easier to do a PowerPoint when everybody can be here. We're going to be as brief as we can tonight. Christopher Young with Urban Architects was not able to make it. So Rick Alfandry and I are going to do our best to fill in and make this a short presentation, but informal for you. There are six sections that we're going to go through quickly. The most important one for this evening is the site selection process, how we went through and selected sites, how we went through and then evaluated the sites, schematic design work that we did from that. And then Rick is going to talk a little bit about the programming requirements for the actual building itself, how that has evolved a little bit since we've been in design. This process actually started last fall, so we've been at this for quite some time now. We'll talk a little bit about costs, and then we'll just wrap up with pros and cons on the one site we selected. So when we started this process, the county, by the way, I'm John Montaigne. I didn't mean to forget to tell you who I am.
John's from GPI. GPI is providing the site civil
mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and structural engineering for this project.
So when we started this process, the initial screening criteria was supplied to us by the county. This is just a quick list of what it was. The area that we were looking at, minimum of 5 acres, but larger sites more than likely to be looked at. Preferred infrastructure being that we have communications. One of the biggest things, obviously, with the GOC EOC is the availability of 911 trunk lines and redundant electrical power, phase three power. Preference on ownership, obviously, if the county already owns the site, it would be the best selection. Other than that, it would be ones where the county has the ability to weigh in on it, not for profits, other things, followed by private properties for sale, and then private properties that are not for sale. And then finally, compatibility with land use, and preferably sites without any environmental issues. The county also gave us then some initial work that had been done for trying to identify the size and capacity of what the building would need to be. This was the kind of the minimum list of rooms and square footages needed in the EOC GOC. It totaled about 11,300 square feet as just the basic infrastructure or size of the building. So from that, and working with county planning, we looked at probably over 20 different sites. Initial screening brought it down to about 10 sites, and those 10 sites we looked at in more detail. The 10 sites, initially, you'll see that there's a lot of dots around the Kingston, Town of Ulster area. But the study area also included areas to the south and to the west. Only one site to the south really came up, and that was the Paradise Lane site that's down by the Ulster Thruway exit.
New Paltz.
New Paltz. And as you'll see as we go through, it actually wound up being the site that we are recommending that be purchased for this project. When we did the evaluation, we looked at 7 primary areas. These are the 7 areas that we analyzed: safety, environmental screening, utilities, site characteristics, the configuration of the lot, accessibility, and the availability of the land. We put together a screening matrix. Obviously, you can't read all of this, but I'm just going to flip next just to show you. In each category of those 7 categories, there are a lot of subcategories in there. I think the one that's the most important to look at is this one here with utilities. The 911 trunk feed and the ability to have redundant electric power is what really elevated the New Paltz site. It is the only location where there are 2 Verizon 911 trunk line regions that come together. They happen to come together right at that, in that area of the county.
As well as 2 Central Hudson feeds.
Right. The other nice thing about that site is that we're looking at it now, there is the potential for municipal water there, and as Rick said, there is 3-phase power that comes in from 2 sides, so we can get redundant 3-phase power. Very important for this type of facility. So after we looked at each site, these are the 10 sites that we looked at. We did a comparison matrix from that, and you can see that in each one of those categories, those 7 categories I talked about, each one of them had a ranking. Those rankings were brought into this table. And on top of that, we did some initial site estimating for the site construction costs for those properties. The important thing in this slide is to see that the 2 sites that really came to the top was the Paradise Lane site and the existing Golden Hill property where the Office of Mental Health building is right now. In order to get these
John's
estimates
diminishing
done,
how much work has went into this. Each one of these included detailed site plans, and it was kind of a feedback loop when we looked at the building programming, the safety requirements, with not just internally, but also with emergency management and the county exec's office and the planning department. And that all influenced the ranking of each of the categories for each of the sites.
Can you zoom in on that?
I
don't know if I can.
There we go.
Yes, I can. There we go. So now you can see the. So you'll see there are 3 sites at the bottom. They fell off as we were doing the schematic designs, there were other site parameters that just didn't make a lot of sense to keep going on that. Then seven of the sites, we did do multiple site concepts, as Rick said, on a number of these different sites. And then based on the preferred concept for each one, a site estimate was put together. Now, bear in mind, this site estimate is just a small portion of the cost of construction. The main cost of construction on this will be the cost of the building. But this in the site analysis was used just to help us, you know, look to make sure that we weren't looking at one site that that would have a much higher cost than other sites to develop. The one reason why the Golden Hill adaptive reuse site is lower, obviously, is that it's already owned by the county. There's no acquisition costs in it.
So real quick, so what was the max score for each category? Five?
The maximum score for each category was a five, yes.
Five. So real quickly, so we...
Actually, I shouldn't say that. The maximum category was a four.
It was a four.
It was a four. So there's a lot of cases where we did give fours.
Okay. So then there really isn't that much of a difference in the scoring when you look at those 10 sites, right? If you go to the 21,
but if you, right. But what you have to look at is you have to look at the fact that we looked at 20 sites. We brought that down to 10 sites.
Let's talk about these.
Right. These sites, the reason why these sites are here and the reason we had to take a hard look at these is that they were not that far apart. So we really had to look at which sites made the most sense.
Can you scroll up a little so we can see the headings again?
Yeah, I want to take a little bit of time on this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, better just let me just try to get back out a little bit here.
There you go, thanks.
There we go.
Can you go back and explain what you meant by the reason why the Golden Hill is slightly lower is because we already own it? I don't follow that.
So there's no site acquisition cost for Golden Hill. What you have in Golden, and plus it's already got infrastructure, it already has, one of the biggest things that it has is it already has a communications tower, right? All the other sites will have to build a communications tower.
That's the main.
That is the main. That's actually the main.
The key point on the site development as much as acquisition, because
right.
Acquisition's actually on top of this.
You're right. Acquisition
it's
is on top
of the tower.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand.
It's the coexisting.
The numbers don't add up to total. That's why I'm trying to figure out what we're talking about.
This is just site development. So
this
it's
is
the
just
fact
site
that the tower is already located there.
Okay.
Right. I apologize for that.
The cost of the development of the Golden Hill is less.
Because
it already has a big communications tower.
I thought that's what you said was the benefit of the Paradise Lane.
No, Paradise Lane has redundant electric power, and it has redundant 911 trunk lines.
Which none of the other sites have.
None of the other sites
they don't have
redundant.
So it looks like Tech City West came in higher on utilities than Paradise Lane there. How was that figured, if that came
municipal
in higher?
Municipal water, municipal sewer already
you've
there.
You've got water and sewer, you've got an infrastructure there, you've got electric power there.
Why
you know, both Tech City obviously would be a good location.
Yeah.
The other thing that is there's competing uses for that property right now, for those properties.
Have you approached the new owner about the potential for siting that? Because I know that he is very interested in having government offices and schools and things like that on that site.
So the Tech City West site that you see that comes up here is actually at the intersection on the west side, and it's in the large parking lot. The problem...
Wait, exactly where? What intersection? That's a...
All right, so...
Where Enterprise Drive comes down. Is it Boyce's?
Yeah.
So if you're coming south, it's on the right, on the county-owned site.
Yeah, I know the property. I'm saying, because he was saying it was specifically in a parking lot area, right? Yeah.
Right, it is in that, and that's the piece that we were looking at, in that lower parking lot. So there's a couple of things that factor into this that came into the design process as we went through this. One of the things that comes in, and we're not looking at the building costs right here, one of the things that came into this is that part of the building design, in order to not have to harden the building, and Rick can probably talk about this a little bit more than I can, you need an 85-foot setback all the way around that perimeter of the building for any parking or cars or anything. So on that property, when we started looking at that configuration and then started adding that 85 into it, it started to really increase the size of the footprint that would be in that corner. And that really started to change what we could actually utilize without taking too much of that corner lot up and making the rest of the property less.
So I don't know if you answered, and if you did, I apologize for not hearing it, but have you approached the owner about the new owner of the property about possibly citing this there?
So that would not be what, we would not actually approach the owners. That would be through the county office. So that would be something that if Dennis was here, we could probably answer.
Can I just, no. And the reason we hadn't approached them is if you go to the far left column on safety, and Steve and Everett are in the room, but one of the things that took Tech City West and East really off the board was the railroad line running through there and the access to like oil bomb trains. The proximity of that rail line is one of the things that took.
How much further is it from Tech City than it is to this place? Paradise Line, because the train runs along the river, which as a crow flies
probably like 10 miles.
It's
much different.
Yeah,
much different.
This is right by the throughway, so you go all the way down to it and then to get the railroad,
right?
Yeah. Whereas you can so the railroad goes right through,
you know, I know.
Yeah, on Tech City, the railroad is in
so
really
the railroad's
close proximity.
About a half a mile away.
Yeah, it's very close proximity to us.
Yeah.
So, for the utilities for Paradise, are you saying? I mean that the 3.3, is that on just sort of hearing that they're open to having water lines? I mean, as opposed to the like, yes. Can you talk about the utility? What goes into that one?
Yeah.
And
so
I guess I ask because it's basically 0.1 difference.
Each you know. Site is different, yeah.
I'm just going to go back up here.
So at Paradise, we will drill a well and build a septic until such time as municipal services are brought across the thruway.
So this is the category for utilities. And as I said, the most important and the highest ranking one is the availability of the 911 trunk lines. And high-speed internet, and then also electric power three-phase redundant distribution is another one that has a significant cost when you're looking at infrastructure. The other nice thing about the Paradise Lane site is that even though municipal water is something that we could bring, because it's actually where the existing thruway toll booth plaza was, there's a water line right there. We believe we can tie into that. But the site itself has a very high yield water source underneath. There's wells that are on that have water. So we can get water, and it has a very sandy soil, unlike most of the other areas that we looked at. So the sandy soil lends itself very well to doing a septic system. Right. So our infrastructure costs, our initial infrastructure costs for this building are going to be much lower than in most other sites. Now, one of the other things that was looked at is there was exchange with Verizon to see what would happen. Is there any way to bring that redundant 911 trunk line up into any of these other sites? And the bottom line is it's just cost prohibitive. I don't remember what they said, but it was over, I don't know, it was, first of all, they said they don't even know that they could engineer it, but second of all, it was, you know, over a million. And so that's one of the reasons why. So when we say 3.3, all of these categories are looked at and they're all weighed.
So back to that, because that's not exactly what I was wondering.
And I am going to go just to the chart itself, and I can zoom in on this.
I wanted the scoring again.
So you see, this is how the scoring was done. And down here, this little table here. So this is really what we're looking at. You know, when you rank these things, you've got to have some general guidelines for it. So when it gets a 4, it just means that there's really no limitations to it. If there is the ability to bring it in and have very little mitigation costs or additional costs for it, so for example, the 911 trunk lines are both there, then it would have a 3. Medium limitations would be, for example, if we had a site that had very tight soils and we couldn't do a septic system, but we needed one, that would elevate the cost for trying to do some kind of wastewater system. Large impacts, obviously, are things that you couldn't mitigate.
Yeah, you have a typo, it's severe, but yeah, can you go back to the next one?
Yeah.
You want to see the ranking sheet again.
Summary
sheet.
And while you're going there, the water source at the Three-Way Plaza, where is that from again? I'm sorry, I missed that.
So right now there is a, let me just get back to this so we have it here. So at that interchange, if you know where the mobile station is, that's there, off to the left. So that water district comes to that mobile station.
That's
and then
New Paltz Water District?
It's going to be New Paltz. And then comes underneath the road there and goes to where the building was previously for the throughway. So there's a water line that comes right to there, and that's adjacent to this.
And that's a village or town? Anybody know? Just
town.
Curious.
That I don't.
Must be in the town.
Well, it's the village water system that they lease to the town.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably town water lines and village water.
There's several water districts in New Paltz, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't
know.
This is
sort of, I want to say it's part of their water district number three.
So back to my question. Because I guess I'm not clear. It's basically that 3.3 versus the 3.1 for Paradies versus Golden Hill of what brings Paradies. And you know, we look here and the score is 24 versus 23.9.
Correct.
We have the price is less for site development, and we know the price is less for purchasing. And so, you know, when we're talking a matter of 0.1 is making the difference between these two locations, I guess it's important to get past.
So
let me just finish. One is where, you know, that 3.1 versus 3.3, while if you had decided it was 3.2 or 3.3 for Golden Hill, all of a sudden it wins. Is the first question of how is that, what's so much better about the one versus the other, especially because the listing had municipal water and sewer, and we know that it doesn't have municipal water and sewer. And then the other thing is you basically just alluded to the fact about the 911 trunk line not being feasible in any other site. So is that basically the only metric we need here, is which site gets that trunk line? And then all this other one is sort of irrelevant, question two. And then question three is, I don't know if lot configuration, you think about it, but one of the conversations we're having is like, what else could be used in this property? So is lot configuration just for the 911 center or for other kinds of uses that could be done? So that's my three questions.
So I'll probably be able to answer those if I go through the rest of the presentation. So let me go through, because the next part of this presentation is I'm gonna show you, so this is the Golden Hill site. Right, and this is the existing building. There is parking that comes all the way around it. This is the water tank, and this is the existing cell tower. And this building right here is the existing EOC, and then there's a small old historic structure that's here.
And that yellow box was the first iteration of what the size of this building might look like. Mm-hmm. It actually needs to be bigger. And we studied multiple plans for that part of the property as well. Go ahead.
This is the Paradies Lane site. And the Paradies Lane site, the area that we're looking at is this corner right up in here. And then all of this land that's out in here is land that's suitable for development. Everything from this tree line south is encumbered by wetlands.
So how much is suitable for development?
About 20 to 22 acres after the 6 acres that we need for the EOC, GOC.
And definitely, you know, with the town codes and everything,
well, I can
development and housing kind of development and all those would be feasible in that space?
Certainly solar and housing, I would think, yeah.
Well, right now it's not, you can't build housing there today.
Correct, right, I just want to know if you are allowed to, if it was... if the variance
he said that part's not the wetland. So once the county takes it over, though,
right, but even if the county takes it over, if it's wetland, if you can't build, you can't build,
right,
what I'm wondering is what part of it could you truly, if we had it and could do anything we want, what could we reasonably
so
do?
So of the 57 acres, after you take out the 6 for the GOC, there's a residual 20 to 22 acres of land outside the wetlands and buffer.
And the brownfield is located where on that?
Pretty much everywhere.
Right, so the brownfield that you have on here, you know, and just so you understand what that is, with most properties that were old agricultural, in this case orchards, you have pesticides that Ulster County, you know, it's very common in a lot of these older properties. Pesticides themselves are, they don't transport in soil. They just kind of stick to it and they stay there. So you can't wash them to get them off, but at the same token, when it rains, they don't transport. They don't go anywhere. Remediation for pesticide soils, they usually stay within the top 6 to a foot of soil, is you strip that material, you stockpile it on site into berms and landscaping, you cap it with another layer of 6-inch soil, and that's how the DEC normally does that.
Or under parking.
Or under parking or other areas that you're not going to get exposed to. And they just encapsulate it and they keep it there because it doesn't transport, it doesn't move, it doesn't leach into the soil.
And was that in the $1.7 million, in that column of what it would cost to?
In the 1.7, there is about $90,000 for the GOC EOC that's included in the budget for soil remediation.
In the 6 acres in that we're going to develop.
Oh, so not the remediation of the
not
rest
the remediation
of the
whole property. Just
what's the average cost per acre on something like that? Do you have an idea?
You mean for remediation?
Yes. Yeah, so you have 90, how much?
So you're really just pushing that soil and stockpiling that soil around. So we're running about $20 a cubic yard with a earth mover. It's not, it's not unusual.
What's your overall estimate?
Estimate is for the balance of the site would be about anywhere from $800,000 to $1 million for the balance of the site.
For the remediation.
For the remediation, yes.
And that won't change the configuration of the floodplain?
There's no floodplain here. It's wetlands buffer. No, you just have to find
outside of the wetlands and buffer.
Yeah. And you said it before, but I didn't see exactly where is the actual structure planning on going.
Well, I'll show you that next. So here's the. I'm going to do two concept plans. Oops. Sensitive. So this is what would have to happen at the Golden Hill site. So at Golden Hill, as I said, this dashed line that you see here is the 85-foot setback around that building. The reason it's important to have that on this particular site is it's an existing building. It would be very hard to go back and retrofit this building to be hardened against that. So what would happen is the parking that sat in here and the parking that was down in here would be removed. This would be more pedestrian. There would be bollards and other things to restrict traffic to come around because you'd still want this service road so you can service the building as you need to. But this would all be pedestrian, and then you would rebuild this parking lot. Just for education, this is where the bus garage that's being proposed would sit. That is the bus garage building, and the parking and everything for that is around that.
Sorry, that's...
Is water sewer on this property?
There is water and sewer on this property.
And the setback is based on?
That's a code requirement.
Right, but now explain this because I didn't understand this before. This whole idea of if we're the county and we own the property, the codes don't matter. But does this kind of code still matter?
The standards for what an EOC has to be still matter. So like certain
but this
planning
setback,
board.
But with the same
yes,
setback.
Yes, you have to either harden the building because it has to be 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365. It can't have a vehicle slam into the building and shut it down. So you either have to harden it or you have to have the setbacks by you.
Okay, thank
you. So this is, now one of the other things that we'll get into a little bit later is that one of the other desires on this is to make sure that you have future expansion. This building right now does house certain uses that even though it's underutilized, that's a cost that will be here because you'll still have to relocate those services to some other location in the county. But it is multiple floors and it does have expansion area, and when we get to the building, we'll show you that. We can talk about
one thing that was a negative to this site too, which may be on the pros and cons later, is that this was supposed to be a net zero building. It's almost impossible to get it to net zero at the health department. I mean, it's feasible, but where it might be feasible, I don't know, Rick. But
we can do a good job, but it's going to be harder.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's more expensive.
But we would want to anyway work on that building becoming a net zero because it's almost 2020.
The budget for next year.
Yeah, one of the other things, now remember, you're not really looking at building costs in here. One of the other things that's an issue with this building. One of the other things that's an issue with this building is the structure on the second floor where the EOC would be. We will have to do some fairly significant structural modifications to the interior on that upper level of that building.
And it has to be upgraded for seismic.
The overall cost of the two, even though site development might be cheaper here, the overall cost is roughly about the same, even adding in the acquisition and not including moving the health department function to town. Like, if we had to buy a building or if we had to move them somewhere else in the county, that's not included in this cost.
But it gave us the cost that was less.
The site development is less. Not the overall cost.
Not the
overall, we haven't seen
not
those
the overall
costs
project.
Yet.
I mean, there's no buildings suitable for this in existence, right? I mean, you would pretty much have to build something like this from scratch, I would think, with the requirements for the 24/7.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ideally, in order to get your end efficiency, for one thing, it's the best way to do it. To get the right layout for your floor plan, it's another thing. But as
if we're going to the future, you know, you don't want to be anchored into a 40-year-old building.
So this is the portion of the Paradise Lane site that we would need. And you'll see it's just a corner of the property. This then, looking at the remainder of the property, this is sort of the extension coming off the bottom here where another road would come through, and then you'd have all of this land and all of this land over in here that's suitable for development. But on our, what we would be looking at is, again, here is that 85-foot setback line that comes around the building. The building itself would sit here. There is room for expansion of that. We had talked about that, the parking area, any of the mitigation for soils, we can use and leave it underneath the parking itself. We also have a lay-down space down in here. One of the things that was looked at on this site is, because it's right next to the throughway, it actually provides the ability for additional emergency service coordination with the state police and others, so there is some additional flexibility on this site that you wouldn't have on Golden Hill. And so we have this other...
And we also are imagining an interconnection to the thruway exit interchange. Even though it's not shown here, we think it has to be feasible.
So since we need 6 acres and this is 22...
58.
Why did you talk to him about subdividing and just getting the 6 acres?
Yeah.
And he won't do that.
He would at $3 million originally.
He'll do the same price
for
6 acres.
Well, originally it was $3 million and a 4.3, but once the appraisal came back and identified the work, we got it down to 3.5.
And so if you said we won't do it unless it's just the 6 acres, and
they find this the highest and most, like, the best area of the parcel, so they felt like it would either need to be, like I said, $3 million. Maybe now that we've done the appraisal for the whole site, it could be 2.5 or something.
But that doesn't mean they're right. I mean, we are just talking about, we'll have all these acres and we can do all this stuff and build these housing. So clearly it has value if there's all this you can do in that space. So
they weren't interested in subdividing it out for less than that. And so it's not like we can take this property on, or, I mean, I don't plan on eminent domain on here. So, like, you have to have a seller that's willing to sell. And they weren't willing to subdivide 5 or 6 acres for, cheaper than $2.5, $3 million.
That sounds pretty shady.
So they want out from under the hassle of that remediation.
I know they want as much money as they can get. I don't wonder,
but
it's still, if there's 50 acres that could be built on,
There's not 50 acres that can be built on. There's 22 there, plus 8.
Sorry,
there's
22 is the wetlands. So you have that right off the bat.
And then there's buffer.
And then there's buffer where
I
we plan on putting
I thought suitable for development was 20 to 22 acres.
After the 6, yes.
Okay, so.
And then you have buffer where we would put a 4-megawatt-ish solar array.
8 to 10. That's still a lot of acreage that can be have things done with. So, yeah, it's still shady.
That's a hard word for me to hear to a property owner who's trying to maximize the benefit to their own individual. So maybe you don't mean it to have those connotations.
No, I do.
Okay. Could you bring evidence about that at some point, maybe separately?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to understand that as well.
Of why I think that charging
shady?
The same amount.
Why it's shady?
Yeah, because recognizing that there's that much land that can be developed, we've already had that conversation that the benefit of having this is that we have up to like, let's, now we're down to 8 or 9 acres that can be put in housing, which is all something that you could sell and sell that way, and other people could put it in and it could make a lot of money. So recognizing that that land has value. And to say that the cost of 6 acres would be the same as the cost of 22 acres, knowing that the other acreage actually has a true value, and saying I refuse to go down in my price for the 6. I'm asking the same amount for 6 as I am for 22, and I'm asking an incredibly high amount for this amount. It feels like it's playing games with us.
And can I just clarify that, I mean, we have an appraisal that actually was higher than this. So as far as an incredibly high amount, our appraisal matches the offer. I did not go back to this property owner after the appraisal, so after the reduction of the 3.5. So I want to just be clear that, like, originally it was either 4.5 or 4.3 for the entire 58 acres, or it was 3 million for the 6 acres. So there was, you know, it's 2/3 the cost. So I never went back to them after that. My guess would be it would be 2.5, but or some number in there. It wouldn't be a million or whatever we're looking for, but just I want to clarify that that has not, conversation has not happened
on how much to really
how
just
much
do
it
the
would be
acres.
For the 6 acres after the appraisal. But I mean, I think we believe that there's value in the other property that would probably offset the costs.
I'm reasonably confident that's the case.
Let's hear Ronk and then Kale.
Thanks. I mean, you know, one thing I think that you're saying is that, you know, it's 22 acres of, you know, land with a value. It's all a potential value. And when you're dealing with a municipality like New Paltz that's been relatively opposed to development of many kinds over the years, I think that that value decreases when you know, a potential buyer is going to have to jump through 1,600 hoops just to not end up being able to build something. But I think that that's, you know, it's definitely something that gets looked at when developers and companies are going around looking for where to put something. I mean, you know, Hudson Valley Credit Union's been trying to put a credit union branch there at the College Diner, and they're jerking them around about the idling in a drive-through. I mean, it's the kind of ridiculousness that goes on in the New Paltz Planning Board, you know, could have an effect on the value of the property, in my opinion.
Mr. Kale,
so was this property on the market for sale actively at the time that we were looking, and how did we?
It was not listed.
How did we come in?
So Rick is.
Go ahead, Rick.
So we did work for Steve on a future hotel for this site, and over the past 2 years, Matt Eiler, who's in New Paltz Rotary with me, started working with Steve on figuring out what to do with it once COVID happened. And
was this going to be the amusement park place or the water park?
It was going to be the water park, and then he canned that. And then he was going to build a boutique hotel, and then COVID happened, and somebody in the communications, I think the county executive, brought it up, and so I contacted Matt.
What? I think it was Dennis.
Matt. Dennis. Doyle. So I contacted Matt, and then here we are.
But this site was on the list prior to contacting.
It was
him?
Not. It had been brought up early. We looked at it. And it seemed that the focus at the time, early in the process, and I'm going to say at the end of last year, the focus was, well, we really should stay in Kingston because of the fact that all the other government operations are primarily aggregated in Kingston. Then as we went through all of the criteria, particularly the ease of development of this site and the fact that we had throughway access and the Verizon trunk lines, this came further back up to the surface, and then we had the ice storm. And then we said, you know what, we probably shouldn't be in Kingston. We probably shouldn't be at Golden Hill, where you only have one way out. on 32, you know, on a steep hill, with all due respect. I mean, and people will tell you, I was an advocate of Golden Hill at first. I think Golden Hill's the place to be. Mm-hmm. This really, through, and this process has been long, arduous, rigorous, not linear, I would say circular, and filled with a lot of detail to come to the point of saying, you know what, this really is the best site. And then you look at it and you say, with all due respect, Eve, when you look at it and you say, there is residual development potential here, I have a feeling that when the county takes it and does the proper work on developing this portion of the site, the remainder of the site is going to be more attractive to developers, not less. And I mean, I'm not Steve, but I know they have a lot into this. They put a lot of money and years into this. Yes, they probably someday can get it out if the county doesn't buy it, I'm sure. But, you know, it's a hard road to be a developer. It's a lot of money out of pocket.
Sorry, picking up what you just said, so that if you go back to that scoping document that you talked about with what you needed, criteria, where it had to be, now I'm getting different answers here. Which came first, that scoping document or?
The criteria document came first.
So
that came from?
That was part of the RFP.
That was part of the RFP that was submitted.
But all right, so you said it, Kingston was the place, but clearly by that scoping document, it calls for New Paltz as another location. So how would that have been known if this property wasn't even explored yet?
So I think what they're saying is the criterion listed were part of the RFP, and then they went out and did the work and came back with where.
So the criteria said near main highways.
Between 299 and 199.
Between 299 and 199, but this was not on the market. And so we looked primarily at what we thought would be on the market or was county owned first.
So that location was never considered prior to that location and access part being set on paper. That's what you're saying.
Say that again.
The Paradise Lane location was never thought of before this document went out to somebody just to see.
This correct. Went out in the RFP.
This went out in the RFP, correct.
So that was the very beginning.
Okay, because the statement before was that we were only looking at Kingston, and that's
why we were looking mostly at Kingston.
Okay.
Right.
Primarily locations that we identified were in Kingston.
Okay.
Near existing government operations.
And from the site selection standpoint, the RFP said that we're going to look at this area. There were no real sites that were coming. Dennis, I think, in the planning office had a feel for some sites, but there were no specific sites.
We actually didn't pick any sites. It was really the planning department. But
I guess I'll let you go forward with the rest of it, and I've got other questions.
Sure.
So I know we're focusing mostly on the site, but it's also important to talk about the building a little bit. One of the things that was discovered as we went through this, and Rick can talk about it a little bit more, is there were, as I said in the original programming, there were spaces that were an absolute that were needed for the building. And we, you know, I'll let Rick, if you want to take over where Christopher would have normally
done
it, do the best you can.
Well, we went through
it. Before we go to that, just a real quick question. This would be the building no matter where it's placed, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. This programming part would be the building no matter where.
Thank you.
Right. So this, again, was a iterative and non-linear process of taking what was given to us, developing schematic plans, we've had regular weekly meetings with the county, and then we've had regular weekly engineer and architect team meetings. So what we discovered is that there were several spaces not accounted for that are needed, additional square footage that was needed, and then we had the ice storm, we realized we really need more concentrated government operations space as well. So the through the if you show the floor plans, I mean, we can give you all these slides. Can you just say
what concentrated government operations means?
Well, so there's the PSAP, and if you look at the floor plan, possibly.
Yeah, I'll get down to that now.
Right. So there's a on the right hand side is the PSAP, essentially emergency operations, and the call answering facility, and in the middle on the left is government operations, where all government departments and other outside agencies can come together in an emergency or not and actually collaborate in this space, and during an emergency have direct interconnectivity with what's happening in the PSAP.
So the GOC is really an EOC, but it'll be used 360.
The goal is for it to be used
more than what an EOC activation is, gotcha. Which may be 25, 30 days out of the year.
Right.
The idea is to use it to have other departments, which is why originally the thought of having it be in Kingston around other departments.
Correct.
If we're going to bring employees together.
It's a good place.
But again, given that it's a short 15-minute ride on the thruway, that's not really that big of a deal.
So the yellow spaces were added during the conversation. Those are square foot adds, and there are some others. There's some other square footage added, particularly in the PSAP, to make it more efficient. But I think you can see it's a very efficient and tight plan. The furnishings that are in the PSAP and the GOC are vendor provided by, I'm blanking on the name of the company, but
we're looking at a couple different vendors right now.
Right, but these are, you know, state-of-the-art answering facilities and communication facilities. So this is the plan, the schematic level plan, that if built new, this is how it would look at Paradies or at another greenfield or undeveloped site. And Urban took this and did lay it out in the mental health health department building just to see how it would work out. This is on the second floor. It more or less works, except that the structural column lines create visual impediments. Whether we can mitigate some of that by removing them is something that we'd have to study and design development to really figure it out. I'm skeptical given the seismic requirements, but it may be possible. But it may also be very expensive. But we wanted to see, is it feasible? The answer is yes, it's feasible. You could put all these spaces in that building from a space planning perspective.
As well as the first floor being something that could be used for potential future expansion.
Right.
So as I said, we had done cost estimates for the site work, but we also then looked at the cumulative costs, the initial budgets, cost for Golden Hill, cost for Paradies Lane, and the deltas on those. So I don't know, Rick, if you want to go through. You'll see in here, though, that the cost for the site is relatively small compared to the overall cost of the project. So right. That's when you really have to start looking at the building itself.
Right. So the site development cost numbers are developed by John and his team. The building development or construction cost numbers are prepared by a company called Trophy Point, which is a professional cost estimating company that's a sub to Urban. And then you have the land acquisition cost and the soft costs. And then there's some other costs which aren't numbered here. There's the potential for moving the health department and the site remediation. The thing that I think is important to understand is that even though the bottom line here for Paradies is $24 million with a 3.5 acquisition, there's some residual value to that 20 to 22 acres, whether it's $1 million or $2.5 million or maybe more back to the county. The other thing to know, we spent quite a bit of time with New York State DEC trying to understand what the implications are. This, the Parity site is in the New York State Brownfields program, and they were very receptive to the idea of the county subdividing a portion. It goes into its own unit, effectively, and remediating that site while the remainder of the property sits in pause mode. It's not a high worry site, so to speak. I mean, they want it cleaned up eventually, but they're not pressing anyone to get it cleaned up. A lot of work has been done by the seller already, a tremendous amount of work, and that the Brownfields program has two major benefits. One is, if you stay in it, perpetual indemnification, and the other is tax credits. So the cost of the remediation is a tax credit to the developer. So anyone who buys maybe more than one party buys the remaining portion, which can be a not-for-profit such as RUPCO, can take advantage of the tax credits for the remediation. And we're looking, trying to understand, when I say we as a team, and I would say mostly Dennis, if the cost that the county incurs to remediate the 6-acre site, which is the least contaminated portion of the property, really, if that cost can be transferred as a tax credit to a future developer, which we think it can be. So the point is that from a bottom line perspective, I think that the cost of the Paradise Lane site is slightly less ultimately in the end to the county than the Golden Hill site. Maybe a lot less when you consider having to relocate the health department. And the schedule should be faster because there is no place for the health department to go.
And emergency services had a concern about trying to construct the new facility on basically the same piece of land right across the parking lot from their current operations.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I thought we were moving the health department already. Why are we...
Mental health. We're only moving mental health.
I thought everything was getting moved down there because the building needed to be renovated anyway. We talked about there was structural issues with that building. And I think even...
That's IS.
I'm pretty sure there was something about it. You mentioned the second floor or third floor needed to be fixed also.
For seismic.
There's only two floors, and the structural modifications that we're talking about is to get some of the columns out of the way so that the EOC and GOC work better.
And seismic.
And then there's some seismic that would have to be looked at. But the seismic right now doesn't affect the users that are there. It only affects it for the EOC and GOC.
Got a couple quick questions. So, one, you think the residual value, is that in the possible valuation of the redeveloping of the site? Is that part of what you're thinking there?
Okay. Yeah.
And then, of course, the other removed expenses from like things like moving, right? Yeah. Okay. So now, this is the big question for me. So we have three disclaimers on the bottom of this chart. And in your experience, both of you fellows are professionals in this area, and in your experience, because I lived through the Ulster County Jail. I was here when that was built. And my question is, how close are those estimates to what you'll end up with, since there's three disclaimers there saying pretty much you can't really carve any of this in stone, right? And so my question really is, what, you know, historically, and, you know, thinking, you know, with your experience, how much difference are we talking here, you know, percentage-wise?
To reality?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. I know that Trophy Point is a very highly regarded estimating company. I think that we're going to see a slowdown in construction cost escalation.
When was this done, by the way?
In the last 4 months.
Yeah, but this chart's...
Oh, this chart was done probably over the last month.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
good. Thank
in
you.
The last month.
Yeah. Until we get at least into design development, they're kind of hamstrung with being able to give us better numbers.
I just want to say that what the legislator Cahill was saying, I don't I don't think it's a fair comparison with the new Ulster County Jail to something like this, because when I can remember the Ulster County Jail, there was hardly no oversight from the county. Mm-hmm. Things kind of went. No contractors that worked there. There was nobody in charge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The initial
and I mean nobody in charge
versus what it ended up costing.
Yeah.
And with those three disclaimers there, I got to tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable with estimates that, you know, are all subject to change.
Sure.
Based on, you know, ahead of the building design.
You know, we're looking at $1,000 a square foot. You know, that's not an insignificant amount of money.
For renovation or new construction?
For new construction of this building type, yes.
The type of building. Including the site and everything you're talking, or just the actual construction?
That's in this budget, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if it doesn't come in at that or below, I'll be stunned.
It has to. Okay. I mean, that would seem impossible. Healthcare construction is the most expensive, and right now the last project I just completed at the hospital in Elmo was about $630 a square foot.
Yeah, this is a similar or heavy, or maybe more heavy duty.
The prices that you have in here, this does not include bringing water to the site for New Pope, correct?
It does not include bringing water to the site for New Pope.
It includes
a well
done. Have an estimate of what that would cost to bring the water to
water
the
and sewer.
This includes a well and septic.
I understand that, but part of the attraction that was being sold earlier is that the property more valuable later, developers will want it, because we're going to do the work. Well, we're doing the work means bringing water sewer, because any housing project that they're talking about, which I'll get to that in a second, would require municipal water and sewer. So what is that cost? Because that's an down the road
so
cost.
So we don't have the answer for that yet. We just became aware in the past week that water might be available. We have just started doing research to see whether or not the water district even could supply water to this site. Okay, so we believe that it can. We've had initial conversations. No cost estimating has been done for that yet, because we have to know more about that water district.
Okay, and then in terms of housing, so I had a conversation with Deputy Zucker Wright earlier, and he's saying, well, it's currently zoned light industrial. The zoning does not allow, it's not even a special use, it's just not allowed, and it's been carved out specifically no residential. So it wouldn't be able to go there. He had said that as a county, we don't have to follow the zoning rules, but that would mean that we are doing the housing project ourselves, we're the builders. There's no funding for that.
So part of the property is zoned light industrial, and part of it is in the either highway business or B2. The
not
front
according
part.
According to the New Paltz zoning map, it's not.
It is, but there's also a resort overlay, which they built just for the Wildberry Lodge. Obviously, we'd have to get. I have to listen, see what Dennis says. I think you'd have to get a zoning change to make it happen. There's also the potential for substantial solar array on this site.
And that would be back in the lower part of the site, which is in that industrial zone.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess going back to my original concern of the cost and the whole idea that the 1 to 2.5 residual value of those remaining acres speaks exactly to my point of why it feels shady. So I guess what I would feel more comfortable with is, given all of the complications in, you know, we were told we didn't necessarily have to remediate that other, we understand it's very complicated, it's not just a simple thing that we can use it and build houses and sell it, or even that we can hand it to RUPCO and or get our money back. I would really appreciate if there could be a return conversation with the seller regarding the 6 acres specifically, and you know we do have a resolution to have it reappraised, and I think in light of this it'd be useful to understand what that appraisal comes at for just those 6 acres, because it's a lot of the concept of what we're getting in the $3 million, including these other acres, comes with so many caveats and complications that it seems like the simplest thing is buying those 6 acres and being able to build what we want on those 6 acres at this point. And I feel like it's worth at least knowing the answer to that question of what it would actually cost us for those 6 acres. And even with the consideration that we buy the 6 acres and maybe help with the remediation of the other land so it's more valuable for him to sell because it's been remediated. But, you know, I think it, for me, it'd be easier to understand and appreciate this if it was really just that piece of property for the thing that we want to do, as opposed to spending $3 million, including a whole bunch of land that we're not even sure if, how, and whether we could, what we could do on it.
Thanks. I mean, you know, just a couple of comments to what you, the comments that you just made. I mean, the first comment is one of the benefits to buying the whole parcel is then we can control the destiny as the county about what happens to the other parcel, which we cannot do if we were able to negotiate a deal with him where he subdivided it right. And then only sold us the acreage that we need for the government operations center. The second thing is that, you know, we could very well do a appraisal on, you know, just the six acres that we need for the government operations center. But that doesn't mean that they're going to sell the 6 acres to us for what the appraised value is, because there is an additional, you know, value to them in selling the whole parcel as one rather than just, you know, rather than, you know, subdividing them. The second is a question, Rick, I don't know if it's for you or for you, sir, is the, you know, one point whatever, what was it, $1.5 million residual value of the other parcel?
One to 2.5.
So, you know, the residual value there, is that remediated or unremediated?
Might. So.
Or is that where the $1.5 million gap comes in?
It's a educated guess on the value. The remediation costs are creditable to the developer as mm-hmm. tax credits. Mm-hmm. So even though there's a burden of getting that done, to me, and again, you know, it has to happen, but to me that's a non-cost issue. The land value has land value. Yes,
and that's, and that's transferable if the county does remediation.
Correct.
And then, okay.
Correct.
You know, the third comment is while we're messing around here about, you know, do we buy a piece of the property? Do we buy the whole property? Is it better at Golden Hill? You know, we're getting farther and farther from the end goal, which is getting our 911 dispatchers and other government offices in suitable, you know, accommodations. And anybody who has gone up to the current location can tell you unequivocally it is unsuitable. It is an untenable situation up there that they've made work for years and years. And I've seen a lot less discussion and a lot less consternation about as much money or more money over the years here when it comes to other departments, human services departments. And here we are with the one department that almost everybody will have a touch with over the, you know, over the course of their lifetime. And quite frankly, the underprivileged, who we've been touting a lot recently, have a much higher likelihood of having an interaction with this department. And I feel like all of that's being lost based on a $1 million here or $1 million there. And, you know, if this were a trail or if this were, you know, another building, you know, the Broadway building that we just bought without a lot of discussion. You know, I don't understand how we've gotten so far away from the end goal, which is a proper location for our, you know, emergency services dispatchers and other government services.
That's that you should tell them.
So I want to say a couple things. First, you know, the conversation is placing a very fiscal scrutiny on the cost, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that's the role of this committee. But we're asking, you know, the folks that are working on this to go back and say, well, you know, can we divide this up and will that lower the cost? But we know that we're going to then apply a apply fiscal scrutiny on that. And we already know that the seller is gonna has stated, and if I would, if I was them, charge a premium if we're gonna divide it up. Of course you would charge a premium if you're gonna divide it up, especially if we're cutting off, you know, the wetland and everything else. So we know for a fact that it's gonna come back at a premium comparative to the cost of this. And if we apply the same lens that we're applying tonight on that, we know that that's not going to satisfy us. So we're asking an impossible task to be performed here, which we know is just going to delay the project. So that brings me to my next point, which I think Minority Leader Ronk set it up very well. And I would also like to give a nod to my Deputy Chair Hansett, who as chair of law enforcement and public safety, we have been talking about this project for a while. We have seen what the folks in the 911 center are dealing with, and it's not, even if there wasn't a need to harden infrastructure, right? Even if there wasn't a need to address climate change, which is going to result in more 911 calls, more flooding, more problems, even if we didn't have an aging infrastructure of, you know, old homes that are, you know, we see a lot of structure fires that are, you know, that we're dealing with right now. Even if we didn't have an aging infrastructure with roads, we would still need to get them out of that space. And I'm very concerned with the type of task we're asking the county executive's team to perform here. That if this kind of thing continues, we're not going to move towards the goal that we need to for our constituents.
Yeah, so also the request is, and I don't know if you've reached out to Tim in the village. I know that they put in a proposal for the water sewer district because they're already struggling to meet the water sewer needs in the village. And so adding this element is going to be a tremendous burden on the village on top of its struggle already. And so it's not just Neil's willingness, but I think it's important to talk to the village mayor about the capacity to support connections
That's
to our water and sewer before we go forward. And then the other part I'll also add about the price is we all know that during COVID, real estate costs went up exorbitantly related to COVID because of large numbers of people coming up here. And so I think it's also important that we recognize that this value is coming at a time when off of the time of really high costs for land and for buildings. And in a conversation I recently had with a realtor, we're starting to start going back down to normal. But, you know, recognize that if we buy this, we're buying, the cost is at this premium rate that, you know, that COVID is obviously influenced.
Say Nolan and then Rock.
So in regard to the water, moving to the municipal water supply is an option. It's not a requirement.
Correct.
And so I think that just gets worked out or it doesn't. So I think we can, you know, I think we need to start moving things aside that aren't affecting this decision. And I'm really convinced, as I was in the public works meeting, that the recommendation for the Paradise Lane site is very solid, based on the infrastructure there, the communications infrastructure for a communications center, essentially. So that gets us to that. And then the next question is, do you want to buy the whole parcel for a little bit more, or would you want to spend some more time and try to save a little bit of money to buy just the 6 acres? And that, I think, it's a judgment. It's a value kind of personal approach. I would rather have the county have that, knowing that we need room for more solar and we need room for more housing, and so it gives us options. And I think we're going to just have to take the pulse on the legislature of whether more people feel that way or more people would like to try to get a bargain on this building that needs to be built, like, really rapidly. And so, you know, I think there's reasonable disagreement about that. You know, you can have a different approach and be completely valid. But for the landowner to have a different perspective on the value of those remaining acres than we have on that is perfectly reasonable to me. And I want to say that I think that the landowner gets to have the perspective that landowner wants to have and take advantage of the market. And that it is unfortunate for us that we need this building at a time when the prices are high. But I don't see us in any way justified in waiting for the prices to come down or delaying when we have the potential of things being very, very problematic at the existing site.
Legislator Ronk, then
thanks.
Cahill, then.
I mean, you know, through you, Mr. Chairman, to Legislator Walter, I mean, it, you know, I understand that the market is high right now. Everyone's aware of that. You know, is your solution to that, you know, having our dispatchers continue to you know, do with what they have until the market comes down? Because that's what it sounded like to me, and that's an untenable situation for me, personally.
No, I just think that we should use that, and we're negotiating with the seller and understanding that that's the situation, and the seller is probably very eager to sell. And I think we have more clout than we are giving ourselves credit for.
I mean, with all due respect,
I am just as eager for this building to be built, and I'm very supportive of it. In concept, I have little issue with any other element on this. I mean, I recognize the concern that the cost might go up and up in the building, but I recognize that would be this true no matter which.
Anything, and that would happen.
But my one concern is that a 3.5 for land acquisition, knowing that 1 to 2.5 of that is a value that's not actually a part of this particular project. I'd love this project to be able to move on. I don't necessarily think that we can assume that we don't have some power of negotiation and be, you know, thoughtful about it with the seller. I mean, I don't think he has other people knocking on his door asking to buy this property right now. He was going to put a water park in it, and he changed his mind during COVID. I think we have the capacity to go back to him immediately, quickly. We have this other appraisal coming out. You know, we have the capacity to do this. It might be a month later, but I'm not, you know, that might be a month that saves us $2 million. So I would be willing to save $2 million and just put this off of 1 month, this whole project.
I think that that's optimistic, right, that we could have a...
Let's we got public hearing.
I need caucus too, but, I mean, Eve's spoken for like 3 hours tonight so far, but that's okay. Fine, Mr. Chairman.
But if you have something to finish, then go ahead.
You've already made it clear you don't want to do what I have to say.
The issue here is, and this keeps on getting conflated, this isn't an option of just one site. That I think that's getting lost here somehow, and I don't know why. There's an option of two sites that are 1.1 away from each other. So I don't know why the statement keeps being made that it's this site, whether it's 6 acres, 20-something acres, it's two sites we can talk about.
The Golden Hill site as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why don't we talk about one?
I mean, we could spend the next 2 hours talking about some of the problems we have at the Golden Hill site too, if that's your pleasure. I mean, you know, the Golden Hill site. Where are you going to put the health department?
Those are discussions that we should be having. That's
without answering that, I don't even see how you explore the health department.
Where are you going to put the government operations center while you're doing the construction?
All right.
Thank you very much. So I have a high level of respect for the committee system in our government here, and I fully appreciate that the DPW committee thought this was a good idea. I also appreciate that the safety committee thought it was a good idea, and I agree, but this is ways and means. We look at the budget, we look at the cost, we look at if we're doing the right physical thing for the county, and that's all we're doing here. I didn't hear one person say they're against this. No one did, and I'm 100% for it, and they've been suffering in that area for how many years now, right? And we're trying to resolve that, right? And that doesn't mean we don't do our due diligence. That just means that we do the opposite. We want to make sure that we're putting them in a place that makes sense for the taxpayers and for them. Nobody's arguing with the building. That's why I asked the specific question. Is that the same building you put anywhere? Yes. Good. That's good. I'm good with that. I'm good with the design. I'm good with the hardening. I'm good with the 85-foot barrier. I'm good with all of that, right? My question comes in the cost of it and how we arrived at the purchase price of that property and what we can do to maybe save the taxpayer some money down the road. We have an audit. We have another appraisal coming of that property within 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know the exact date, but it's coming very soon, right? And I would absolutely like to take a look at that appraisal before I make my decision. Right now, we're going on one appraisal on a property that I think we can all agree is a little bit inflated in price. I think we can all agree on that. It sat vacant for how many years? It was not being marketed. He was not anxious to sell it. It was not in a place that I'm aware of. I specifically asked that question. Was it on the market? No. How did he find out? We approached him. with the big bags of cash hanging over our shoulder, right? So for me, I want to see that next appraisal before I make a decision and, you know, really weigh it out from that aspect.
Let's say Fabiano, then Rock.
No, I'm good. My mind is made up.
I mean, you know, one of the intangibles that has to do with cost is the cost of new space for the health department, which is not which has not been, you know, discussed in great length here tonight. It's been discussed, well, what do we do with the health department? I mean, we just spent $700,000 on the building down on Broadway for the, yeah, and again, you know, I'm sure that was inflated too because of the real estate values. $2 million. Sorry, thank you.
Elizabeth Manners, sir.
Thank you. That was the other building that we, you know, was spent a bunch of money on with not so much discussion. You know, I can tell you that, you know, based on the, you know, you talk about doing due diligence, and I totally respect that. I think that what you have here is a lot of due diligence by somebody that we spent a bunch of money to hire to do the due diligence for us.
I don't disagree.
And now we're putting them through the rigmarole of, you know, almost behaving as if they're, you know, sending us, not you.
No, I'm just saying, I don't think they care one way or the other for that. They're just going by the cost of the
building. I agree,
and
they've looked at dollars and cents, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people were approached. The reason it wasn't being marketed isn't because it doesn't have value, and it isn't because it doesn't have the value that they're, you know, selling it to us for. It wasn't being marketed because they've got hundreds of thousands of dollars into different things that they've been trying to do with the property themselves. And I think I made a comment earlier, you know, half in jest about, you know, the trouble with citing anything in New Paltz. I think that he's, you know, taking a hit on some of the money that he's put into it because he's so sick and tired of trying to cite something in New Paltz. But, you know, I don't know.
What?
You get things so. I mean, we can wait months and months to, you know, to make the decision. I've made this prediction probably, you know, 15 times since I've been a legislator. I'll make another one tonight. I don't think I've been wrong once. We can wait a month and I'll support a postponement if that's what it comes to, but I don't think that anything's going to change except we're all going to be 1 month older, and then we'll make this decision next month and we'll just be a month behind.
I'm going to go to Legislator Ryder, then Legislator Cahill, but quickly, Legislator Ronk, you recall, I think that's why I texted you that question, was pretty much over a year ago, you and I were supposed to be on a committee to be a part of this, part of the ARPA, so the delay is not on us. The fact that we were not involved up until this point is the problem. Had we been able to ask questions like this and bring it back to our respective caucuses and get this feedback as we were going through this process, this wouldn't have come to last minute, what seems like last minute questions. They really should have been questions that were vetted all along.
I get it. I mean, my caucus, we've got seven yeses on this project tonight. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I understand where you're coming from. None of those ARPA committees met, and that's on the executive's office. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, they changed. Plus, the legislature, you know, got further involved in the process and changed the way all that was going on. So that's another part of it as well.
All right, Debbie's a partner.
One of the reasons this didn't go to the ARPA committee is because we took the ARPA funds out for this project. But to Legislator Cahill's point, I mean, there is language in this resolution that says we cannot move forward on the acquisition unless there's a secondary appraisal that matches the $3.5 million asking price. So what we're asking the legislature to do is have faith that that is going to happen. We can't move forward. We are as far as we can get with our engineers and our architects without legislative input on whether we're going to move forward on this property. If tonight it were to pass and there were to be 16 legislators that supported it, it would be worthwhile for us to continue to move forward so that we can try to stay in line with the grants that are coming with the equipment that we cannot put into the current facility. And those grants have a timeline. We are trying to move forward as expeditiously as we can, but also saving money. So that's why we agreed to the second appraisal. If you vote for it tonight and the second appraisal comes back low, then we can't move forward. The only way we would move forward is if it confirms our first appraisal, which we believe it will.
Legislator Cahill?
Yeah, I just wanted comment a little bit on what Deputy Executive Ryder said. First of all, you know, if it was that urgent, you know, and there's grants tied to it and all of that, how come this is the first time I'm hearing it? It's the first time. This is Ways and Means. This is where that should be brought up. We should have been discussing this months ago if you had a strict, hard timeline in order to get stuff done through the executive's office. If you guys haven't done that, that's not our fault, and you put it on us as if we are the ones that are holding this up. We are the ones, because we're doing our job, because we're asking questions that should have been asked months ago, and had we been aware, had it been brought to this committee, we would have asked those questions then. But since this is the first time this has been in front of this committee, and this is the very first time I've seen this presentation, I have questions. Right, and one of the things I have is the, you know, I want to see that other appraisal, and you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to make a motion that we postpone it 1 month, give us a chance to look at that appraisal, I'll say for myself personally, a little bit more time to digest all this information that I'm just seeing for the first time tonight, and we'll take it from there. I don't want to hold this project up. I don't. It's not my desire. My desire is to make sure that we do it correctly. Right? Because had I been, you know, if I was in the legislature, and I know it's not a comparison, legislator Fabiano pointed out, it's not the same type of thing where there's not the same level of oversight. I don't know, once bitten, twice shy, I guess, because I saw rampant true corruption in the building of that jail. I don't expect
God,
that.
Yes.
I don't expect that in this project.
No.
And, you know, had we done just one extra meeting, maybe two extra meetings prior to that, that may not have happened. Right? And so I have no problem with recommending that we just take a deep breath, absorb all this information that we're getting this second appraisal, and then looking at it again next month.
Can I will second that, but add that Mark, you had said very specifically you hadn't gone back to him and talked to him about that that particular piece of land only, so I would ask that you actually do have that conversation, even if it will get you the same answer. We'll ask our appraiser to also just give us a sense of what that 6 acres versus the whole. And I would request that you, if you haven't done it already, reach out to the mayor. I know that it has wells and septics, but our goal, our desire is that it is on municipal water and sewer. And so for many reasons, not just for that property, but for the use of the rest of the land. So if you could just find out, you know, the implications to the village to being able to support the water sewer of that, or if there's another way that it's going to be, but it'd be useful to know how water and sewer is going to be handled in that, because that's a very, very important
that's
piece
important
to this.
Question too. They gotta have the capacity.
Yeah,
and if they don't have the capacity.
Mayor Rogers has been, he's aware of this project.
Legislator Nolan?
It might be worth looking at the well test to see if the site has the potential to be wells that could augment the village or town water supply.
They looked at that, but the chlorine levels at the time were too high.
Okay.
So
I understand what Legislator Cahill is putting forward as his top concern. What it sounds to me like, though, is that the existing resolution has a cure for that, which is it allows the framework to be in place so that if the second appraisal confirms the existing appraisal, which is very likely, I mean, it mostly happens that way rather than any other way, that the project could then move forward without delay. And if that appraisal comes in, to my surprise, as significantly different, then this avenue shuts down, and so you have the oversight. So it seems like it's a compromise that allows, you know, the effort that's been put in to materialize if it proves out. And your request for oversight is completely served by the nothing moving forward beyond the resolution until the second appraisal comes in. So I don't see the problem with curing this, except that it's, you know, it's a different, what is the problem with curing this rather than slamming it? Well, if you allow this resolution to go forward, it could save weeks or months.
I didn't slam anything. I resent you saying that.
All right, so I'll withdraw the word slam, as I requested somebody else to withdraw an unfortunate word. But if the cure allows the project to go forward if the appraisal is adequate, you know, is satisfactory, and it stops it if it's not, which is what you said was your goal. So it seems like there, it, you call it a compromise, if that's what it is, but that slight change allows for the benefit without any hazard. That's a good thing, in my view.
Any huge timeline problems if we put this off a month?
Other than, we'd lose a month of work.
I get it. And I've made my prediction of all of us being 1 month older. But, if that's what gets people comfortable, I'm fine with it.
The other thing,
clarify that statement, though. You have to wait anyway until the appraisal, which won't be for...
Well, things have to get rolling. We don't just get authorized by you all, and then the next day we close on a property. So we have to do title searches. We have, once we get authorized from you, there's months of due diligence work. Anyway, that has to happen from now. We can't start that work.
But you can't start anyway until you know what the new appraisal is going to be. Why would you start ahead of time? If this comes in at half the price of the new appraisal, why would you start it anyway?
Or twice? Because once we get the appraisal, then we have to come back here. There's a delay. It's not like...
We're talking about a week or two.
We don't know that. I mean, the other piece is the appraisal is not in our control because the legislature is doing the appraisal.
We could call a special
meeting. So if the appraisal doesn't come in, then on the time frame that we're talking about, there's a much longer delay. If the legislator's appraiser chooses to not be done by the July meeting date, then we're in August, is what I'm saying.
Or if they get it done in a week, and our meeting's not until July. I'm just...
We already know it's not happening until mid-July.
We could call a special meeting if the appraisal comes in.
I get it.
You know?
We won't have one, but I understand what you're saying. It won't happen.
Any other discussion?
Why wouldn't it happen?
All right, all those in favor of postponement 1-1.
This one.
I'm postponed. I'm supported.
Yeah. I'm going to be a no on the postponement.
Okay. Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Resolution, these are bonds. 310, acquisition of parcel lands for multi-use government operations center.
Are we going to make a motion to postpone this?
Yeah, sure. I'll make a motion to postpone this. There's no reason in passing the bond.
Thank you.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
318, authorized design and engineering for the Boyceville substation. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Is there one there? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 320, authorized replacement of infrastructure.
The 320, 325, and 327, I make a motion all three.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Controller? Anything quickly?
No. I move we adjourn.
Second. Cahill, all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, thank you.
Brian, so you know, we delayed this.
Did I sign a month?
I'm sorry, what?
Did I sign everything?
You signed everything so far. Everything else just seems to be.
It's a Democratic caucus leadership problem.
Oh, now he's got moving.
If Brian's saying this is the first hearing about it.
Sorry.
She's the best. Yeah, she's.
I've seen. She's always either taking.